Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Yud Beis, the 12th chapter in the book of Iyov. This Perek has 25 psukim, and it is the first part of Iyov's response speech to Tzofer. Remember how the dialogue has gone. Iyov has presented his woes, and then each one of his friends has responded to him. First Eliphaz, then Iyov responded to him, then Bildad HaShuhi, and Iyov responded to him, and finally Tzofer. Iyov is now responding in Perek Yud Beis and Yud Gimel to Tzofer's speech. And he starts off with the following, and he has a few points to make in this Perek. He first starts off in the first three psukim to make his first point, where he says, "You are all fools, and with you will die wisdom. Imachem tamus chachma." You think because you're the majority, that means to say you're right, but listen to me. I also have a heart. Gam li levav kamoichem, lo nofel anochi mikem, bes mi en kamoile. You know what? I also feel. I also have perspective, and I know that my perspective is equally as valid and as important as yours. So listen to what I'm about to say. That is sort of an introduction. At this point, by the way, Iyov is not just talking to the immediate response of Tzofer, but in general to his friends as a whole. We'll see some of those examples in just a moment. The gist of what he's about to say in the second point is Psukim Dalet Tehei, where he says, you know, it's a joke. You suggest that a tzaddik, you can have a person who's a really fully righteous person, but they don't know themselves. They don't really know themselves deep down inside. Under the covers of emotion and subconscious is lying evil. And that's why people can suffer who say they're tzaddikim, but they're not really tzaddikim. He says, what kind of joke is that? You say, you're making a joke of any pure tzaddikim. Because what you're essentially arguing is that a tzaddik doesn't know themselves. They're really nachon lemoadei regel. They're going to have a time when they're going to come and they're going to face the music. Well, really? Does that make sense? It's a joke, schoik, that a person should not be able to have a full compass mentis perspective of self, if that's the case. Meaning they're so unaware of themselves, you can have a real tzaddik who really is actually deep down an evil person, they have no knowledge of that. He makes his third point, which is pasuk vav. Yishloyu oyalim l'shodedim. So you know, what do you say then about the evil who do so well and they have such serenity in life? Maybe deep down they're actually tzaddikim. According to your expression that everything that happens has to be justified. So you know, maybe they're the fact that they have shalva is an expression of the fact that they're tzaddikim. And then Iyov, of course, responds and says, that's ridiculous. He says, no, they were predetermined to do evil actions, and so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them what he predetermined to give them, which in this case was Shalva. Meaning to say, this is all points to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything, including human actions, which is his argument at this point. It's interesting to note this is the first time in the Sefer that we were dealt with not tzaddik v'raloi, how can the righteous suffer, but this is rasha v'tovloi, how can the evil prosper. It's only mentioned in passing, but it's important, the other side of the same coin. He moves on to his next point, point four, which is psukim zayin to yud. And in these four psukim, he points out that, you know, Tzofer pointed out, had argued, that the human being is different to the animal. That really, that a person is born empty and, so to speak, starts off as an animal, but is able to develop themselves as they go through life. And Iyov responds by saying, you know what, ask the animals. The animals have a deep understanding of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You know, ask them, and they understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of every aspect and element of their lives. Mi lo yoda b'chol eile ki yad Hashem osa zozois. They know Hashem's in charge of everything. Hashem yoda nevesh kol chai v'ruach kol besarish. Hashem's in charge of every human being. What does that mean? The way the Mamam understands it is that Iyov is moving back to his deterministic model, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the animals and the humans, so therefore even what the human action is going to be is under the rubric of control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what he's saying, which is fascinating because the way we use that Pasuk Yud, Asher B'yodah Nefesh Kol Chai V'ruach Kol B'Sar Ish, is not in the davening, is not the way it's being used as the Mamam sees it in Iyov's statement here. Iyov is saying, Nothing I do is really my control. Everything I do is in Hashem's control. When we say it in our davening, we have to say it slightly differently. We view it as the idea that Hashem is protecting us in everything we do, that Hashem controls the whole universe, but we still admit that we have the power to take and make certain actions. Fascinating. It's interesting. Rav Schwab has a different way of reading this whole section here. And he says that rather than saying that it's a deterministic model, what he's saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over the whole world. And what Eov is saying to these individuals, to his friends, is, you know, we all started off in the same place. We were all innocent. We all had a very naive conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? I've seen things differently now. I've been through something you haven't. I've suffered horrifically, and I know I'm innocent. So I still believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything in the world. But you know what? I now have to struggle with questions. I'm not going to throw out the baby and the bathwater, but I have a different perspective to you, which is moves into the next section in his fifth of 6 points in this perek. Yud Aleph to Tezayin, 11 to 16. Now he makes another point, and he says, you know, Sofer argued that the knowledge of Hashem is different categorically than the knowledge of human beings. The knowledge of a human being is experiential, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intrinsic. And that's how Sofer resolved the issue of Yediyah and Bechira, how Hashem can know something and a human being has the right to make choices. So how does that work? So Sofer explained, Hashem's knowledge is beyond the conception of human beings. So our knowledge is not compatible with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yediyah. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yediyah, it is much more pervasive, it is all-encompassing than human beings' knowledge. But he says, Eov responds to that, and he says, look, I listen, and I hear sounds, I taste things, and I feel it. Experience teaches me that what seems to be real around me. When you look at elderly people, they have wisdom. Why? Because in long days, they had experience. Experience seems to be true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave us experience to judge with. So I'm going to take that as the real judgment. Therefore, he goes on to say that really the extension, the human being's knowledge is an extension of godly knowledge. It's not categorically different. It might be, in a certain sense, experientially different because we have less experience, but the knowledge is still processed in the same way, which means he is now throwing out the way that that Sofer had argued the difference between Yediyah of Hashem and Yediyah of a human being, the knowledge, the pre-knowledge, which was the answer to Yediyah and Bechira. Once Eov now destroys this perspective, he now opens up the pathway to saying that still there is a contradiction between our free will and Hashem's knowledge, and therefore by granting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, greater knowledge, therefore he is now removing the Bechira, which is why it could be that the actions happened to him, why it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really in charge of his actions rather than himself. And finally, he goes on to his last point in the perek, and that is that you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of humankind from examples in geopolitical history. He says, he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the human mind because you see things which happen which shouldn't happen otherwise. He gives examples. So let's say when you have a king, when you have a system of government which is run by a king, a lot of times you'd have something called Musar Melachim. Musar Melachim would be a number of the top advisors who would be there, who'd be appointed to be a check and balance with the king's power. They would rein the king in, would the king be too autocratic, too much of a dictator. But sometimes you'll see that Musar Melachim Piteach, Vayesar Ezer B'Mosneh, they're meant to be the safety of the people, but sometimes they'll take power into their own hands. So they'll do things which are counterproductive for the people and the nation themselves and allow the king to express power, dictatorship, which is not healthy, even though it would have been better for the people and themselves to be the check and balance of the king. Another example is let's say in a free society, in a democratic society, we have leaders, whether the Malbim lists four different types of leaders based on the pasuk: religious leaders, powerful leaders, genuine people leaders, and elders. You know what sometimes happens is the metaphor he uses is that the people will sweep them away. That you're going to have them sweeping away their leaders like a river overflowing its banks. And in that case, it'll actually be bad for them. They're going to do things which are going to ultimately undermine their own standing. Why would they do things like that if it were not Hashem who was leading them? Example being like in modern times, you know, Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, of course, it was initiated by a corrupt leader, Robert Mugabe. But when it came to there was a, so to speak, a quiet revolution where all the farmsteads were taken over by people who are not entitled to them, and the economy fell through. There was no logical reason that could have happened. You could attribute it to greed, but it was self-destructive greed. Another example he gives is nations fall and rise. He says in Pasuk Chof Gimel, he says, Mashki lagoyim vayabdeim, shoteach lagoyim vayanchaim. You'll see Napoleon will take control of all of Europe, and then France will suddenly just fall back into the recesses there afterwards. You'll see the Assyrians rise and the Syrians fall. The Babylonians rise, the Babylonians fall. The Persians rise, the Persians fall. The Greeks rise, the Greeks fall. The Romans rise, and look at Italy today. Understand that there is a flow and ebb of history, and that is controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example is, he says, you see leaders who do terrible things which bring their nations into darkness. So, you know, you can have leaders, let's say, of Cuba, who will destroy the country and do everything which is counterproductive, counterintuitive, counter-economically productive. But nonetheless, that shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yimoshishu Choshech V'loi Or, Vayatzeim Kashikor, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading humanity. Yeo comes back to his basic assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's idea supersedes the Bechira of human beings, which therefore leads him to trying to understand the justice of Hashem. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.